outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't.
Well, who would have thought it? We have arrived at the last weekend in March, the third month of the year, going into the fourth one, and we have been plagued with the oddest weather for this time of year. And yes, it's been snowing in Dublin quite heavily too, some major flurries, some blinding blizzards, and then later on in the day it gets sunny and it all disappears, and then it starts snowing again and it's mad stuff. It's very cold outside, the weather outside is frightful, but I'm nice and warm in this radio studio. Somebody who isn't nice and warm and in a radio studio is Peter Dunnigan, and I'll be talking to him very shortly. But first, with a little sip of my hot chocolate, this is The Sod Show. From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM, Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. Yes, this is The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, wonderful bags for every bit of your gardening type needs. And despite the fact that it's been snowing half the week and then decided to be sunny, to be cloudy, and then decided to rain, and then there was hailstorms, and then frogs fell from the sky. No, it didn't go quite that far, but it's been a very odd week weather-wise, apart from one thing. It has been bitterly cold the whole time, and windy. And cold and windy makes me think right now of Ballybochel. Let's go straight out to Ballybochel and our outside broadcast unit, manned by Peter Dunnigan.
Yes, Niall, indeed it is, Peter. And I know you're sitting inside with a glass of hot port, 14 pairs of socks, 2 pairs of slippers on, and 16 mittens on you, all nice and tight there. No?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Woo! Yes, they're all cold, but inside, cold hands, warm heart. Is that what they say?
Yep, that's the one.
Anyhow, back to it. I'm losing my marbles. Maybe it is the low temperatures. The funny thing we've had this week, as you'd be well aware, is there are, what, I think I had a phone call there on Wednesday, and across in Churchtown, the southern part of Dublin, heading towards almost Wicklow, it would have been snowing at one point there, almost blizzard gales is what I was told, as it came to your neck of the woods in and around about Croke Park. It was kind of snowing mildly, and as you headed out towards Ballybochel, well, it had been snowing at about 6 in the morning, but it had all thawed out by the time it came to about lunchtime. The glass thing is that the soil hasn't really frozen in between all of this, and it has allowed me to get on with doing things in the garden. Is the wind rushing down the phone, Niall?
Quite a bit, Peter, but nothing we can do. We'll just grin and bear it, yep.
Yeah, apologies about that, but that's the joys of the great outdoors. But like I said, the soil has not frozen entirely. It's kind of muddy, if that makes sense. So we're not really that cold. There's just a bad wind chill factor in the air, which means I've had my 40 coats and my 50 pockets on. Do you remember that, Niall? Are you young enough?
Oh, I'm old enough, Peter. I'm old enough to remember 40 coats and slightly bonkers and all the rest.
Well, yeah. Okay, pipe. Yes. Slippers. Yes. Smoking jacket. Check. Yes. All of the above.
You cheeky fecker.
Peter outside in a pair of shorts. But it is not really that. Like, you know, I've been able to get on with the landscaping thing. And as we have been reminded so much over the years, in this beautiful island in which we live, when the sun comes out, that's when, how do you say it? The investing in your garden, in when it's been a bit rainy and a bit dull and a bit all of those things, and then the sunshine comes out and it is right there, ready made for you in time for that more beautiful part of the season when we get it. And the funny thing is I did have to build, what, this week, what, one barbecue went in. Yes, surprise, surprise. One barbecue. But like I said, there is just that little bit of foresight. I think it stems back to that winter of discontent that I continuously harp on about, when we had that minus 18 Celsius on Christmas Day 2010 2011. And I think Irish people maybe have just had a little bit too much of that, too much of the Vincent Brown, the prime times, the the politics, the let's talk about the economy. No, let's not. Let's go outside and plant some daffodil bulbs underneath the lawn. And again, if you look at the far side of my road, if you're ever passing up this neck of the woods, you will see daffodils that I planted into the ditches and the hedgerows. And they are literally free gratis for everybody to take as you're walking up the road. And I do put out that Mimi Roadrunner sign, free seed, please take some. And people do tend to do that, and it is really wonderful to see. But again, if you want daffodils growing in your garden, it is something that you would have had to have done, what, about 4 odd months ago approximately, or at least in the last tree. Anyway, tree planting season, we are coming to the tail end of it. If you ever wanted to plant a tree in your garden, or a hedge, or something to attract the birds and the bees in, for those of you at home listening, yeah, you won't get onto Niall's apartment balcony,
well,
but
no,
you will, and you should be doing it before the trees come into leaf. And it is the wonderful thing about nature that it is able to tell us, irrespective of how cold we think it is, what is on the horizon. And the trees, my cherry trees, as I look at them at this moment in time, the green buds are there. They are there. It is a good sign. My hyacinth bulbs are still in flower, and there is new growth appearing on my buxus Semper Virens, that is the box hedge for you and me. Funnily enough, my chives and my herb bed, my parsley, are all starting to generate new shoots, as is my bay laurel, the Laurus nobilis, the hedge of choice in my own garden. Niall, are you going to do anything on that balcony apartment thing of yours?
Well, right now, Peter, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm trying to clear a head cold, although I think that the kind of lemon concoction I'm imbibing is helping with that, so I don't sound too bad. But right now, I'm well wrapped up like the Michelin man, and I won't be going anywhere near the balcony right now, thank you.
Yes, indeed, not with those 14 pairs of socks on. You'd have to take at least 3 pairs off and put on them slippers and you're smoking.
We
have a running joke. It's been long-standing. Don't worry, myself and Niall get on extremely well. Well, maybe we don't. Nah, no, we do. I'm only joking. Come here, I'll grab you in the headlock. No, I won't. But yes, okay, so back to it. What is happening for Peter this week? Is it a case of that the snow stops play? Not on your Nelly. I will be across, I believe, the third garden of March is due to start literally this weekend. Has the snow stopped play at all? Really, if I'm honest, no, it hasn't. It's been a little bit chilly. It's been a little bit cold. But I know, for example, the garden I'm about to put together next week, there's Prunus Lusitanica root ball hedging going in. I've some lovely Magnolia stellatas going in. I have a red flowering lilac, or Syringa vulgaris, as it may be known. That is also going in. One of the nicer featured plants going in there next week, amongst many other things. It's just continue on. And I know, yeah, Niall, I hear you. You know, how can you work through the snow? Well,
I wouldn't, but then I work indoors.
Have you got snow on your grass in the rugby field next door to your apartment?
Yep, but believe it or not, there's still people out throwing javelins and playing rugby. I'm not kidding about the javelins either. What about you?
Ballybottle doesn't have any, and, you know, southside of Dublin, I don't know. You know, like I said, there's a point where it gets in the way, but does it really stop play? Well, maybe no, just not in the gardens that I'm doing at this moment in time.
Okay, well, so snow and playing rugby and javelins, and whether it's stopping you or not, all that aside, what is going on then today on today's show? Who are you talking to?
I'm going to be talking to John from Country Crest in a little bit.
Okay, well, before you do talk to him, I suggest you go and grab a cup of tea and we'll take a little bit of music. How about that?
That's a great idea, Niall, because I cannot feel my head, shoulders, knees and toes. Let me go in and get a cup of tea, warm my hands, and I'll be in studio number 2 talking with John in a little bit. Back to you, Niall.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, and
thanks, Peter, for all those things you've just said and for reminding me of that song, Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes. Oh my God, a blast from the past from my youth. Anyway, do go and get your cup of tea and get warm before you do your interview. And speaking of songs, here's a song that you can get warmed up to. In fact, it's even got heat in the name. This is Canned Heat, Jamiroquai on The Sod Show.
Yeah.
Jamiroquai with Canned Heat on The Sod Show. Now, as mentioned earlier, we've allowed Peter into the confines of a studio. He has come in from the cold and snowy outdoor climes into Studio 2. And so let's go over to him right now.
So I'm talking with John Byrne from Country Crest. Country Crest, for those travelling north side, let's say from, what about Swords, heading towards Drogheda, the one thing that stands out, I suppose it's almost like the equivalent, the farmers farming equivalent of the Eiffel Tower, is the very large wind turbine that sits in the middle of your field. How big of a turbine is that, John?
It's the technical side of it, it's 800 kilowatts. It's a very, very large. It generates like up to 70% of our electricity on site. In terms of its actual size, it's 80 metres tall. So it is, as you say, quite noticeable from no matter what direction you're coming from to us. So the message there in that, where we use the turbine, we hope to, within another couple of years, we'll be fully energy sufficient ourselves. At the moment, we're at 70%. So it's a very green message that we like to sort of work.
70% of your annual electricity powered by your own, by wind. I won't ask the cost on installing a wind turbine that size. Some of the ones I see around the areas are, you might say, in the local hardware stores are a little bit smaller. I'm sure they're hardly even able to power a kettle. How many people are employed by Country Crest in total? Just to give people a gist of how big the company is, never mind the power usage.
Well, we're nearly at 200 now at the moment in all sides of the business. There's the farm, there's our pack house, and of course now with our new cook plant. So yeah, it's quite a large and growing company.
And your role within Country Crest is what? Do you have a title?
Yeah, I'm a business development manager, pretty much the sales representative on the road.
What would people best know Country Crest for if we were to walk, let's say, the supermarket shelves in your, I don't know, Pavilion Shopping Centre in Swords, let's say, or Dundrum Shopping Centre? What would we best know you for?
We're one of the largest suppliers of potatoes and onions across pretty much all the retailers. A lot of our lines are produced specifically for retailers, so to be using their own label. We do have our own brand, of course, but the nature of the business is there's a lot of own label.
One of the things that I found a little bit amazing, you might say, is that one can, or one generally tends to produce, let's say, potatoes or onions, like you said, for the supermarket in a bag. You walk in, you buy a bag or a sack of potatoes, but you also do the, you might say, the end user, or what would you call it, the value-added side of things. How does that all work?
Indeed, value-added. Well, very much it grew from the core business, where we were able to provide meal accompaniments, like baby potatoes, mashed potato, that type of thing. And obviously then the next step up from that then was to get into ready meals, where we do potato top pies. And now we have a very extensive range of ready meals across a number of retailers.
And that all works from the same kind of plant. So in theory, you're very much the field to fork kind of way of doing things. It's picked in the field, it's brought into the pack house, it's put into the bag, or it's put into something else and it comes out as, what would you say, one of the large potatoes with a something on top kind of a thing. Is that the way it goes?
Oh yeah, one of our better selling lines in our own range is their baked potato with fillings, whether it be cream cheese or mature cheddar.
I'm getting a little bit peckish. What's the history behind Country Crest? How far back does the story go? It's hardly that size of a business is built up over like a 5-year period or a 10-year period.
Yeah, well, no, the company was set up by Gabriel and Michael Hoy, the brothers, in 1994. But indeed, no, you're absolutely right. It's 4 generations of farming that's going on there in the Hoy family.
And when did you kind of come into the business?
I'm with Country Crest now, must be 5 years.
So has things changed a lot since you kind of came on? Have they changed? Have they drastically changed? Is the way farming and how you do even business, has that all changed?
Oh, very much so. It's very, very fast moving. These last few years now, that side of our business now where we have the convenience meals, that has really grown, gone from strength to strength, growing all the time.
I know way back when I was having a conversation with a neighbour of mine and he was kind of saying to me, he said, you know, back in the 80s, they used to just put a box of a 1-ton box of potatoes in the middle of the supermarket and they'd kind of throw them out across a board and some ladies used to come in and pick the big potatoes and some would pick the small potatoes. That definitely has changed to the point of you can't really buy a 20 kg bag of potatoes anymore. It's kind of down to the 5 kg bag, something that you might say my mom who's 5 foot tall would be able to carry almost in, I won't say in her handbag, but definitely be able to lift it up and put it in the shopping trolley.
As you say, over the years, the way the market has developed is that I suppose the largest packs you'd get now would be a 10 kilo bag. And I was only talking to a gentleman there today and he was remarking at how in times past, the little small baby potatoes that are quite trendy now and everybody is buying them. There was a time not so long ago when you couldn't get rid of them. They used to use them for pig feed and whatever.
How has the farming side of things for Country Crest been affected with the weather over the last, 2.5 seasons? So you've had record rainfall levels. I know last year, 2012, you would have had 85 millimetres of rain fall at one point within the space of 3 hours. Has that hit you? Has it affected you?
Oh yeah, very much so. I mean, as you know, it affects the whole farming community, but certainly from our side of things, last winter it was very, very damaging. And I'm sure as everybody has seen, prices in supermarkets, that's the knock-on effect. That's what happens with supply and demand.
Very much so. Is there anything in the pipeline coming forward for Country Crest that's new and innovative, a little bit different that we should keep our eyes out for?
Oh, we're always working on something. Yes, absolutely. There's always something coming in the pipeline.
Just to put into perspective, what's the average 2.4 children, a house and a car, I buy, let's say, 5 kg, or we might go through about 5 kg of potato. That's probably what a small sack of spuds kind of coming up to about knee height. Is that about right?
4 to 5 kilo bag? Yeah. Well, that'd be sort of the mid-size. The carrier bags that you'd be looking for would be the 7.5 kilo bag. That'd be the large packs that a family of 4 we'd be taking home with them.
So just to put into context, how many kgs of potatoes per annum would Country Crest go through?
Well, now kgs now would be a difficult one. I'm going to have to talk in tons at this stage because Country Crest we would pack on an annual basis be 25,000 tons.
So for those of you at home, my Jeep would probably fit about, if you filled it to the brim, as in how many elephants could you squeeze into a mini kind of thing. Take my Jeep, squeeze as many spuds in as you can, and you probably have about 1 ton. So you're saying 25,000 of my Jeeps full with spuds?
Over the course of a year, yeah.
Holy good God. They need to go through, obviously you pick them from the field, they're covered in muck. They then come into the, what would you say, the pack house? Is that the right word to use?
That's right. And as you know, obviously potatoes now, for the most part, are washed for the consumer. So yes, they're washed and packed in our pack house.
So how much water does Country Crest use doing something like that?
Well, obviously it would be a large volume of water, but we recycle 70% of our potato wash water as part of our green policies in how we operate our business.
Tie that in with the windmill. Does that make you a little bit unusual? Are you a step ahead of the, you might say, the posse? No offence to anybody else intended in that one, but are you, you might say, in the eco-greeny sense, are you a million miles ahead? Are you a little bit more advanced?
Oh, very much so. I would say we'd be leading the way in terms of how we conduct our business in trying to be environmentally friendly and energy sufficient.
Yeah. When one washes potatoes, you do tend to get this kind of a, I don't know, I always remember the Liffey in the 1980s, and you used to get this kind of a Guinness head, as I used to call it, or kind of a foam developing on the top. There tends to be that does come from potato wash. What happens to that, or how does Country Crest deal with that?
Well, there's a recycling process involved there for the water. And as I say, we'd recycle 70% of it. Obviously, beyond that, wouldn't be fit for recycling. So and that is part of our overall waste management systems that we try to have in place. And another side to that would be where we work with our suppliers and encouraging them to reduce any potential waste in terms of packaging.
Packaging in itself, though, has changed over the, I suppose, over the last, again, decade. It seems to be that, the cardboard is recycled or fully recycled or recyclable. It's all, you know, the whole thing. I mean, I don't think I would have ever have seen the day where we had anything other than just one bin outside of our house, and all of a sudden there's three bins for separating our waste. And, you know, we had people like the Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun who are recycling paint and recycling clothes and recycling material and recycling furniture and bicycles and saving it from going to landfill. You seem to have a strong ethos and company policy going forward on that. You also have a biodiversity plan in place as well, which is slightly, again, for me, unusual to hear.
Yes, on biodiversity, yeah, well, where we're positioned and with the land around us now, we've put in place a wildlife area and a biodiversity.
I know it's one of those buzzwords, but it is also great to hear companies, larger companies, doing their bit for the natural surroundings. And I have to say, where Country Crest are based, it's quite a beautiful part of the countryside anyway. If people want to find out more about Country Crest, you have a website, you have details?
We do indeed, yes. Countrycrest.ie, you'll find us.
Excellent. Thanks very much, John, for your time. Pleasure.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you to John and Peter in Studio 2. Welcome back. This is the Sod Show Newsroom. The Sod Show's Peter Dunnigan will be doing a music and quiz night extravaganza to raise funds so that he can do his third half marathon for Temple Street Children's Hospital. This music and quiz night takes place tomorrow night, that's Saturday, March 30th, from 8 p.m. onwards in O'Connor's Pub in Ballybohol near Swords in County Dublin. If you find Ballybohol, you'll find O'Connor's. It's the only pub in the village. He'll be raising funds for Temple Street, and that is a cause that is very close to Peter's heart. On the big night, you'll find Skerry's legend and music man Martin Byrne, who'll be kicking off the night from 7:45. Then the main show, Bonanza, and the Super Duper Table Quiz. And there'll also be a Super Duper raffle, I'm told, and spot prizes. And food, which we're promised, will be yummy. All this will be followed by DJ Brian Green for one night only. €5 per head or €20 for a table of four. It multiplies out, doesn't it? And don't worry, if you come on your own or there's just a couple of you or a trio, they will fix you up with somebody. For more information, see today's show notes on sodshow.com. Now, So Easy Grow is a new startup company based in Galway, providing weed prevention solutions and related products for the GIYer, that's the grow-it-yourselfer, and market garden growers. Owen Flaherty comes from a professional cookery background, and he also has a keen interest in growing his own fresh produce. He's a passionate GIYer, you could say, and an active member of GIY Ireland. Well, the idea for the core Grow Grid product occurred from the frustration that came from trying to control weeds without using chemicals. So Easy Grow has developed the Grow Grid, which is a high quality mulch or weed matting that is punched with heat sealed holes to prevent the material from fraying, to suppress weeds in your vegetable patch, and provides the correct spacings for the vegetables and plants to grow. It also acts as a guide for crop rotation. Grow Grid allows you to grow vegetables organically as it suppresses weeds, not killing them. Grow Grid raises soil temperature, blocks out 99% of light, and allows equal water dispersion, which prevents water pooling at the base of the plant. It keeps plants and vegetables moist during very warm and dry spells. Sounds like a handy thing to you? Well, Owen will be demonstrating So Easy Grow at the Galway Food Festival. So for more information, pop along and see him there, or go to soeasygrow.ie. That's soeasygrow.ie. Incidentally, the Galway Food Festival is taking place right now and all this weekend. It's running right now as I speak, celebrating all that is good about Galway food and dining, and there's a full programme of events and more information up at galwayfoodfestival.com. As always, all the links and information mentioned in our newsy bits on the show can be found on today's show notes page on sodshow.com. There's also various ways of getting in touch with the show there, if you should wish to do so. If you have anything for our newsy bits, any suggestions for the show, any questions for our expert landscaper and gardener, Peter Dunnigan himself, or if you'd like to send us some free stuff. We like stuff. Oh, and if you've got any audio for us, if you yourself would like to feature in the Sod Show, you can get in touch via Audioboo. All the details are up there on sodshow.com. Our thanks once again to our kind sponsors, greensacks.ie, who this week have an interesting blog on how to make your very own seed starters from scratch. It's not difficult to do. It involves recycling, gives your seeds a head start, and it's good for the environment too. So check out the blog on greensacks.ie for more on that. Well, once again, we're out of time, and that's it for another week on The Sod Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Or, of course, you may be listening in podcasts on sodshow.com or iTunes or wherever. Wherever you are listening, or whatever way you are listening, and whatever you're going to be doing in the great outdoors, and whoever you're going to be doing it with, enjoy yourselves and take care.